proclaimings before chanting. The Sangha is invited to go back to our community so that our collective energy of mindfulness will bring us together as an organism, going as believer, with no more separation. Let the whole Sangha breathe as one body. Chant as one body. Listen as one body. And transcend the frontiers of a delusive self, liberating from the superiority complex, the inferiority complex, and the equality complex.
Namo Shaya. Dear Sangha, today is the 9th of January, the year 2011. We are at the Meditation Hall Assembly of Star in Low Hamlet, Plum Village. The first teaching of the Buddha at the Deer Park, He spoke about the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path. The Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, it means eight correct way to practices, is a basic teaching of the Buddha. And we all think that, especially those of you who know a lot about Buddhism, we thought that we know everything about Four Noble Truths and eight practice correct, eight correct practices. But in fact, more we practice, more we put into practice in our life, our understanding about the Four Noble Truths and the eight correct practice is deeper and different, is more profound. And so, please never declare that I know already. That is a very, very superficial perception. You think that you understood already the Four Noble Truths. You thought that you understand already the eight correct practice, but you always can deepen your understanding and deepen your practice. The Buddha start by the first noble truth is suffering, because he want to speak concretely, because in life there is always difficulties, always not satisfaction, and if people lose our time on theoretical speculation is one help, and so he want to bring people down to earth, and here is suffering. And the suffering is the contrary of other things. Other thing is we have that because we don't have that and we suffer. So when the Buddha said something about the third noble truth, it's about extinction. The third noble truth is extinction, is stopping, cessation. Cessation of what? Cessation of suffering, the absence of suffering. So it means if it is the third noble truth is the absence of suffering, it means also in the same time the presence of happiness. Absence of suffering, it means the presence of anlak. Anlak means peace and happiness. So in the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha did not speak only suffering. He spoke about many things more profound, but if you don't practice, you don't see it. Like the third The third noble truth is the absence of suffering. And so you compare the third and the first. Without the first, you have the third. Like you have the left, you have the right. And so suffering and happiness. So some people say that Buddhism only teach about suffering. It's not correct, because this absence of suffering, there are the presence of happiness. Like if we say that Buddhism teach only the left hand, so it's not correct, because left hand is the other side of right hand. So simple. But we use to be very innocent. We used to find a place where there is only happiness. How we can find a place where there is only happiness? You find a place where there is only the right hand, there is no left hand, it's impossible. You find a place where there is only upper part, not the lower part, it's impossible. So, we have to find a place where you have more happiness, and we have the art to transform the difficulty into happiness. So there is difficulty anyway, suffering anyway, but you must find a place where there is a place where you have the ability to transform suffering into happiness. So one sister, Nyong Im, said that, I want to become a nun because I want to be in a place where there is no suffering. And also in Christianity, people say that when you are reborn in the kingdom, you are born in the kingdom of God, there is only happiness. And Buddhists also that we have to be born in the pure land, in the happiness land. And then that is, for me, is not very profound. And in the Sutra of Amitabha Buddha, this one sentence said that there is a that place is no suffering at all. Yeah, people say that. For me, those who say that there is a place where there is only happiness, I think that is not correct teaching. Not correct teaching, not correct view. Like if you say that it's only right place, not wrong, not left, right hand, not wrong, left hand. Several times tends to the suffering that we can see the beauty of happiness. Yeah. Because you stumble in that difficulty, and now you overcome, and you see that how wonderful to be like now. The suffering is very necessary, very essential for our life, in order for you to be happy. Like sadness is need for you to be happy, to be joyful. You need to know what means hunger, and without any food at all, and you know when you have food, and then when you have food, you will be happy. And if you have food all your life, you do not see that food is important. That is happiness. So I think that I see that I do not want that my children, my descendant, to be in the place where it's only happiness. I don't want my descendant to come to that place. Because at that place is only happiness. Everything is ready. Food is ready. Water is ready. Every condition is ready. They don't know what means happiness. They think that they take it for granted. And they feel that it's okay. It's normal to be like that. And then there's no way for our children to grow if they only have everything plenty. So I want my children to come to a place where there is different difficulty. If there is difficulty, and then there is happiness. Like I know that this is a place where there's no mud, there's no way to have flower, to have lotuses. Without mud, without compost, you cannot never have beautiful flower. So it's the same for everything. And so the thinking that the kingdom of God is a place where there is only happiness, the pure land of the Buddha, the Amitabha Buddha land, there is no suffering at all. I think that is a wrong view. We have to wish to see clearly that. You have to see, to train yourself to see clearly that. That there's no way to have beautiful flower without compost. No way to enjoy food if you never know what mean hungry. What mean hunger? Hunger. So we go, we who are trained to learn to look deeper, we must train ourselves to produce happiness for ourselves. We have to create happiness for yourself. You have to know the way to make yourself happy. If you are a practitioner and you don't know how to handle and make you happy, that you are not a good practitioner. You do two things. You transform your difficulties and you produce happiness. It means you look deep and you point out what is positive, wonderful. And then, because usually we have happy condition but we took it for granted. And we leave it there. And then we only deal with suffering. And then we take for granted all the good conditions. So produce happiness is you have to be in touch with this positive, good condition in you. And then after that, you also point out to your suffering, your uneasiness, your difficulty, and how to look deeper in order to transform them. So the way is to, a practitioner must know two things. First, you touch what is happiness in you, positive condition in you, and to look deep into difficulty in you, suffering in you, try to find a way out. Wherever there is life, there is suffering, there is happiness, there are both. And you cannot find life without difficulties. Life in here, alive in the kingdom of God or in the pure land of the Buddha, always there is difficulties. But you are a practitioner. You are not afraid. You are afraid, not afraid of suffering, of difficulty, because you know how to handle your difficulties. And you took all the ingredients of the difficulty, of the suffering, and you make your own happiness. That is the way a practitioner has to do it. And you only can rely on one thing. It's like, I only want to have my right hand because my right hand can write two things, many things, and my left hand is no use. It's impossible. So, it's the same. You only want to have happiness only, no suffering. And then you take the happiness for granted. And you feel bored. And you search for other condition to make you suffer. So you have to have a behavior in a very correct way about happiness and suffering. That correct view, that is, if I have that unhappiness, this can be good ingredients for me to create ingredients of suffering and a good occasion for me to make happiness. That is the right view. When you have difficulties, you have suffering, you say, that is good ingredients for me to make my own happiness. And so, because happiness is also impermanent, And suffering is also impermanent. So fortunately, that suffering is impermanent. Your difficulties are impermanent. And so thanks to the practice that you change the difficulties into better condition, and happiness. So if you are a practitioner and you only dream to have only happiness, you only have dream to have joy, happiness, no suffering, if it's not correct way, you are a good practitioner, is you can handle quickly the difficulty into different conditions, changing them, make them easily transform into joy, happiness. And that is, more you practice well, more the transformation is quick. So, first we have our body and our feeling. And so among our feeling, there is many categories. The first one we call painful feelings. The next one is joyful feeling. I mean favorable feeling, happy feeling. Like mean happiness. And the third one is sata, is neutral feeling. Neutral, not happy but not unhappy. Not pleasant, not unpleasant. They call the neutral feelings. In the process of practicing, we discover that neutral feeling is something very interesting. Neutral feeling, it means you don't feel pleasant, you don't feel unpleasant. You feel a neutral feeling, like sitting here, you have no headache, you know, stomach ache, you feel that you have neutral feeling. But if you bring mindfulness into your neutral feeling, and you see deeper, and it could be very pleasant feeling, it could be very unpleasant feeling too. It depends on your mindfulness. You see deep root of your neutral feeling, and you will see that you have plenty of pleasant feeling. Like you sit on the grass, there's nothing to do. No good news, no bad news. You sit on the meadow, and in the springtime, and somebody asks you, what are you doing? I didn't do anything. Any special? No. I have neutral feeling. But the friend said that. The friend said, you know that the grass around you are so green. In winter, they're not so green like that. Have you discovered that the grass, when you sit, is so green like that? You know that in Russia, there is a canicule, it means a very heat, you know, who can cause a lot of many thousand people die. And you are fresh on your meadow. The grass is so green, it's so beautiful, the atmosphere is so cool, not too fresh, not too hot. That is very pleasant feeling. You do not know that in Russia they have canicule of heat, and then people die a lot. And so, thanks to the mindfulness that you are on the green grass, fresh, cool air, you feel that from a neutral feeling, it's become very pleasant feeling. There is a folk story saying that there is a very poor girl, very good things. And then there is a fair, a goddess who come and help the little Cendrillon, you know the story of Cendrillon. And then from a very poor dress, she become very fancy dress. And so we too, we use the the pointing, we point with mindfulness, the condition who seems very poor, it becomes very rich. Mm. And you can see that there's many neutral condition you feel that is boring, is not interesting. But if you look deeply and you see that is so wonderful. And so if you sit on the riverbank of the own your feeling, you can see that 85% of your neutral feeling are pleasant, very pleasant feeling. And we all have been able to do that. Because from an unpleasant feeling, neutral feeling, you look deep and you feel that, oh, it's a very pleasant feeling. And we recognize all the good condition who are present in us. And so, your teacher remind you all the time that you have many neutral condition, but look deep in order to be happy. Most of your feelings are neutral. But if you know how to handle your neutral feeling, you look deep with the magic point of mindfulness, and then the stick of mindfulness touch your neutral feeling, is become happy new feeling right away. And a practitioner must have a stick of mindfulness to touch on your neutral feeling in order to be happy. And the practice is you have to face, you look deep into that feeling, but you compare with other feeling, and then you will see happy. For instance, this morning you do walking meditation from your meditation hall, and then you walk, and then you remember the meditation hall in Vietnam. You are in this very meditation hall, and you remember the meditation hall in Vietnam where you are ejected from, and you say that, oh, it's so cold meditation hall, but here I'm so warm, a lot of light, a lot of brother and sister, practitioner, and Thầy will be very soon coming here, sitting with me. And so you are stepping on that floor. It's a miracle to step on that floor. This time where we are expelled from our meditation in Vietnam, we don't know where to go, and then there's no way to go anywhere, but now I'm here. In this meditation hall, stepping warmly on the floor, and you are very happy. But if now you think that it's neutral feeling because I'm preparing the meditation hall for Thầy to come, and you keep it neutral. But if you remember how miserable you were in that meditation hall, expelled by the mob and a lot of harassment, and then you don't know where to go, you don't know if you can continue the practice or not, but now you are here, so wonderful, and so warm, warm of the atmosphere, physical, but it's the same floor, the same person who step. But when you are not mindful, you feel that it's neutral. Well, I'm preparing the meditation hall for my sister and friends coming everywhere, and you feel neutral. But bringing mindfulness, you compare with the feeling when you were very miserable in Vietnam. And here, you see that a lot of happiness in your heart. In the newsletter Plum Village last year, Thầy Pháp Hữu spoke about the process to build the meditation hall in Up Hamlet. And when that meditation hall was on the process to reconstruct, Thầy was there There have been witness that the monk do a lot of work for the meditation hall, and sometimes there is sister from other hamlet to come and to enjoy the working together. I remember that we have to wait until the concrete underneath with on the tube of hot water to be dry, and then after that we put the wood, the bamboo. And so every day we wait and we do slowly for many months until we have that wonderful floor, and we walk and we are so happy. So this morning I walk on the tiling path from the meditation hall to my hut, and I feel that on the tiling, on the piece of tile put there, do all the work. So I'm wondering, who put this tile? This could be a monk, could be a nun from Low Hamlet, and so I see that in this, on this tile, on the path I'm walking, is his brotherhood, sisterhood. And I feel that there is an interaction of many brothers and sisters working together, tiling the path, putting the floor with bamboo, and so on. And my happiness is so great. I see that my students practice so well. They put together on the tiling, they put together the floor with brotherhood, with sisterhood, and I'm full of joy, full of happiness that I have so many good students who practice so well. And so when we have difficulty, we have to invite on this happiness, looking deeply in order to see many neutral feelings, to become very happy like that. And then after that, I can face my difficulty with serenity, with deep look. And so there is 12 line of tile. And then when we walk like that, we are so happy. And we know that that is made by our brother, is prepared by our sister. And you are full of happiness. If no, you walk mindlessly, it's a pity. Every day, we have to produce more happiness by looking deeply into our neutral feeling. When you hold your bowl, you walk. There are many occasions to be happy. You can walk properly. This moment where you are so sick, you cannot go out, you cannot walk. But now you can walk healthily in this atmosphere where there are a lot of people coming from many corners of the world, coming together, try to practice together, to be mindful, to be happy, to be concentrated, to touch what is wonderful, to look deep the difficulty, to transform the difficulty. That's a very good place, and a lot of chance for us to be happy. Mindfulness is many meaning. The first meaning is to remember. You remember that now is so wonderful, but in the past was not good. So go back to the present moment, and it's like that. In the background of the past, but your mind is with the present. The happiness that we are having here now, sometime. Many times we have a lot of happiness, but we are not trying to look at. We are too busy to run after our difficulties and do not have chance to recognize all the happy condition available to us. So the suffering and the joy, you have to compare. Like when you see that sheet of paper, and I put one circle in the same color, you do not see it because there's no contrast. But if I put the white or the black, and then you see the contrast in the background of unhappiness, in the background of unhappiness, you can recognize many happy moments. So without mindfulness, like in the same color, but here is the same. And there is a yellow. There is a yellow, and he take it and he put on the background of color, and then so the happiness and the joy is very relative. They are the same, but if they have other background is become better. This background is simple, is boring. And it's a wrong perception who do not see that and so we learn Four Noble Truths again. Don't think that we have to extinct totally suffering, kick them away 10,000 miles in order to keep only happiness. No, you have to keep them, look deeper, and then see that, oh, you learn, and next time you will be much more happy. And so, happiness and difficulty, suffering enter all. But a practitioner is different from a non-practitioner, is the person who practice know to transform the difficulty, the suffering in a very artful way, make good use and make it happy. So, shall we discuss, make a Dhamma discussion about that? Do you write a report to me how you create happiness in you? How you transform your difficulties? I'm a practitioner, I'm a good practitioner. Is what I have create happiness for me, what I have create happiness for me, how I can transform my difficulty by touching with mindfulness what is still positive, happy in my life, and enjoy them. If we have the teaching, we have the practice, we have the mean, the many way to practice, you can transform your difficulties into neutral, into much better, into happiness. So if you feel inspired, you can write to me the report how you transform your difficulties into happiness. And you have to use the methods of contrasting. You recall yourself in most difficult situation and comparing with now, and you feel this is not too bad. Not good yet, but it's not too bad. And so report to me. Now we go back to the sutra. We cannot be lazy. We cannot be so lazy. Lazy, it means you don't practice well, you're letting drift away. So you cannot be so lazy. You have to use, you cannot use your lazy mind, your unmindfulness in order to find happiness. You cannot use the mind which lack of courage, lack of goodwill, lack of courage to let go, to release all the links of suffering which cut you, bind you into that situation. You don't want to be in that situation, but all these strings who bind you to that situation, and this make you so unhappy, but you have no courage to cut on this string. You must take the sword of understanding, the sword of understanding, the knife of understanding, to cut on this string who try to make you entangle in that confused situation. You must have a courage to cut on this string, let go, in order to arrive laziness, unforgetfulness, unmindfulness is not enough, it's not good. You can never arrive to Nibbana with your laziness, with your letting go, drift like that. You have to, if you want to go to Nibbana, it means to the place of safety, of peace, of understanding, of love, you have to have the courage to burn on this string, that string who bind you, make you entangle in that difficult situation. You have the courage to cut them all. Leave there, go somewhere else, in order to find more space, more light. You must have that courage to cut on this bind, that things. So our practice is to look, which condition, which like one don't string, and then how many string who bind you, other string who bind you, which bind you. You have to detect every string which bind you to that difficult situation. You don't want that. You continue to suffer, but you don't want to cut that string. We want to be free, but in fact, inside we don't feel free at all. We don't dare to be free at all. If you show you want to be bind, you want to be bind, you also have some deep wish to be bind, but bind in your way. But his way is different, and it makes you suffer, but you don't dare to cut that string. Have to have the courage to burn them, cut them, let them go. Go away from that only string. You should not be lazy. You should not be forgetfulness. You have to have the courage to leave on this string who bind you in order to reach Nibbana, the place of safety, of peace, of light. Du is then the word du in Chinese. We can write in that way, but that du is more correct to the meaning of the sutra. Why the one we see in the text could be a mistake. Bear out. A bhikkhu must quickly empty the water in the on your road. There's a lot of flood in your road. You have to empty it. In your boat, you must empty the water in your boat. Maybe your five manners, your precept, vinaya have some leak, and the water enter and flood your boat. You have to empty quickly. And you see, to empty quickly, it means there is some leak. And after emptying, you see which point is the leak point, and then you can fill up. And you make your boat to be really wholesome, clean, safe, no leaks. So when you go with the boat, you always have a kind of bucket to empty your boat when there is water enter into your boat. And when you empty all the water, and then you see where is the leaking point in order to fill it. So your practice is the same. Sometimes you stop and you look deeper into your practice. You are violating some little five manners. You are violating some little thing, and things are flooding in you, but you don't realize. Mindfulness helps you to realize and to empty on this flooding water, and then to see which point you are weak. Which point you are not mindful, and to make your boat to be very heavy. If you empty your boat like that, your boat will be very light. The sutra, but it's like a poet, because on this image are so beautiful. The fires are burning on the string. The boat so light. And you have to determine, to make your determination to cut this craving, that attached feeling. If you don't burn this attached string, and then you will be bind, and then you will be caught, and you will sunk into your situations, difficult, suffering situation. So you have to empty the flooding water, burn on this string, and then you feel that you cut on the string of attachment, of drowning love, and then you must empty the boat in order for boat to be light, and then you have to cut on the attachment links, so that you are and craving links, and then you will be free. And then you can reach Nibbana. before that the do I exist? And then later on, will I be nothingness? No nothingness and no existence. It's a middle way between no emptiness and no existence. No non-existent and no existent. Last night, Thay Pháp, in the meditation hall in Upper Hamlet, Thay Pháp, I have read the Middle Way Sutra. And in that sutra, he spoke about right view. The right view transcends two opposite of to be or not to be, existent or not existent. In life, people used to hesitate between existent or not existence. When the Sutra on Middle Ways transcend that, help you to go see upper and to transcend that opposite view. You can see the entire being of that and that, and you transcend the mold of existence or non-existence, and the mold of self or non-self. He is the world, he is me. The world exists, is me, I exist. So we say that the world exists and I exist. Yeah, you see that the world exists and you exist, that is a heretic view, a wrong view. But if you say that you exist, the world exists, is also a wrong view. But if you say that you doesn't, you do not exist, and the world do not exist, is also a wrong view. So the right view is in between, is the interbeing of yes and no. So the question is, before that, did I exist? And then when I pass away, do I really become nothingness? It seems that we are existing now. But before we are born, before being born, do I exist? And then when my heart ceases to beat and they cremate me, and so I do not exist now. Yep, I exist, and tomorrow when things happen, and I will not exist, and I will be very depressed, suffering. And then when you practice looking deeply, offering by the Buddha, mindfulness, concentration, and you see deep insight of the reality, and you see that Nibbana is the extinction of these two opposite notions. The absence of these two notions, I exist or I do not exist, I am the Tathagata, totality, I am the togetherness, I am everything, I am not exist in that side or other side, I am not in this side or other side, I do not exist, I do not existing. The obstacle is we are putting reality in the mold. And so you have to remove on this mold, on this preconceived idea, the idea of coming, going, the idea of left, right, the idea of below, down, up. And we take out on this notion and we see the great togetherness, the great interbeing. And Nibbana is the absence of on this notion. And there are many verses explaining about that, about about difficulties. So it's burn, or burn the notion of suffering and happiness, the notion of left and right, the notion of existence or non-existence. In Upamlet one day, in the evening chanting, Thầy Pháp Dung read the sutra on how to catch a snake. And so there are people who are caught in wrong perception. And then the Buddha spoke about that, but wrong perception and other wrong perception, like before I'm born, do I exist? And now, why am I existing now? And then one day when I'm no longer there, do I really non-existent? And then that makes people worrying and sad and afraid, big fear that I will not exist. If we see that this world is us, this world exists, I exist. If I exist, the world exists. So when we die, when we die and the world will not die, will die or not? With that view, but that is a wrong perception. Until one see a student of the Buddha, and the student of Buddha said that, what? You say that exists? Is impermanent. What you call existence is impermanent. Form, feeling, mental formation, consciousness, all are impermanent. And you look deep, you see there is no separate self of all these things. And so there is a man who said, in the past I see that I exist, and now you spoke like that, I feel that I will not be existent. And also panicking. Because that person is caught by the word existent or non-existent. If you are not caught by existent or non-existent, you are not afraid at all. Because you are afraid that you will not exist, and then you are so full of fear. What you have? The left hand, sure. You are so sure that you have a left hand. And then you have to accept the right hand. Without the left hand, you will not have a right hand. So you are caught by the distinction between left and right. You are distinction by existent or non-existent. And many of us are afraid of nothingness. Nihilism. Because we think that we see that we are being now, I am being now, and we are afraid that one day car arrive and you die and you will be not being. Then we will, because you are caught in that notion, yes and no. In Christianity, many people, many theologians try to illustrate that God exists. Because there are people who ask the question, does God exist? So, in one side, they say that no. Another side, that yes. And so they are fighting each other. You lose a lot of time for fighting. You lose a lot of saliva for arguing. In Buddhism, the existence or non-existence are only illusory perception. You don't need to lose time and discussion. they are two sides of one reality. When you say that Nirvana exists or not, it's very funny. Because Nirvana is transcending on this notion of existence or non-existence. If you say that Nirvana exists, it's wrong. Nirvana do not exist, is also wrong. Nirvana transcends that. And in Christianity, a number of Christian mystics, they found that way. And they found. And they also found the no birth, no death too. So they don't have to quarrel a lot about exist, God exists or not exist. So that is on the question about existence or not existence is expressed, the worries, the anxiety of people, of human beings. The one in the past, I have it. Now people say that is no. The one in the past, I exist. People now say that is in no existence. Before I was born, this exist. It means maybe we think that we are from nothing, you are born. And then when you so-called pass away, will you become nothingness? If you are caught by one, and then you are caught by the second one. And so you are caught by that deep concern. Like sometimes people ask, when the Buddha pass away, will he exist or will he not be existent? And to be sure, or he is in the same time existent and not existent, or he doesn't exist and do not exist. And then one monk practicing walking meditation on the road have been stopped by a philosopher, and you tell me, does your Buddha exist or not exist, etc. Many box. He exists or he won't exist. And if he pass away already, is your teacher exist or continue to not exist? And so the monk said that maybe he do not want to answer, but the philosopher thought that maybe he is a young novice, he don't know. And so he decided to go to see the Buddha to directly ask a question, because he himself has described the world in many categories, and he can be caught, exist or not exist. So Anuruddha, the young monk, report to Buddha how people ask this question to him. And he asked the Buddha how he can answer the next time when he see such a question, how I answer. And so the Buddha smiled. He said, tell me, is form is me? And he said, no, this feeling is me now? Do you, can you find me in these five skandhas? It means form, feeling, mental formation, perception, and consciousness. No, you cannot. And so the Buddha said that I'm here in front of you, and you cannot find me in the perception, you cannot find me in feeling, you cannot find me in the form. So how you can want to know when I pass away, how you can see me? And I am existing or not existing, or in the same time existent and non-existent, and so on. Why you try to set up the reality into several molds like that? And you put in each mold and you ask me to agree or not to agree. And so, life that is that togetherness. And then when it's rain, you try to receive the rain with the bucket, you only receive a few. But if you let your mind open to the rain of the Dhamma, you receive a lot. So you open your mind with ultimate reality, you see that you cannot put reality into a bottle, you cannot put the reality into that basket, you cannot put reality into every mold. You have to dissolve on this mold, this form, try to put reality in different boxes like that. Dissolve on this box, and you can feel, you can see suchness. Suchness is another name of the Buddha. You cannot hold suchness. Suchness is things like it is. When you read the first verses of this sutra, the fourth line of the first verses. And so Vyantat is Nibbana, you cannot explain by word. Vyantat Vongong Thuyak, it means I am going to give you 38 verses, but I warn you that Nibbana you cannot express by words. Right away at the first verses, the Buddha at the fourth line already remind people that I will mention about notion, and notion you cannot get hold of the reality. So the existence of myself is existing or not existing? Or from nothing you become something, or from something you become nothing. So if you can dissolve on this, only that you reach Nibbana. But if you start to worry, you put reality in different mold, different boxes, and then you are caught, and then you will never be in peace. You can never touch Nibbana. So you cannot touch at anything. You cannot catch reality like that. So Nibbana is the extension of all the notion, on these boxes of your mind. Coming, going, birth, death, left, right, above, below. see the deep truth, and you are very stable. And if you know, you skillfully know, see clearly that stability of your mind, and then you can see the true nature of attachment and will extinct on the roots of this attachment, difficult links, and then you will become unshakable. The truth transcends the notion of existent, not existent. You can see that truth, and then you can see that we have to be very skillful to look deeper in order to arrive to that unshakable, very stable. Sharp here is doesn't mean that you look deeper. You look deeper not in a superficial way. You look deeper about the root of your attachment, of your craving. And when you see on its causes, its root, and then you can transcend on this border, that frontier of suffering, and then you reach the unshakable place. And you can see the truth, and you are stable, step by step. You grow stronger and stronger. You can touch the ultimate dimension of reality. So 17. Also, well, in fact, there is many verses, but all the verses. All the verses mentioned about the removing the opposite view and about the wrong view, about the attachment, about the notion of craving, attachment, etc. So that you remove that and then you touch Nibbana. In New Hamlet, there is one practitioner, teaching French in the area. And it's a private high school, I think. And she teaches French. And one day, the director of her school complained that the children in his high school have no spirituality at all. The children live in a very superficial way. They do automatically. They behave mechanically. They have no spirituality. In the class, it's the same. When they go out, they don't have anything, there's no anterior life, not an inner peace. We are called a Christian school, but there's no spirituality at all. The children carry away by many superficial things. Nothing spiritual in the class, nothing spiritual when they go out for playing. So that school teacher had visited Plum Village, and she proposed that she started to use the bell in her class. And she proposed that she would do it, and if other class do it, I guarantee this could be have more peace in the children, and they can look deeper. And so they accept. And so they brought to each class one bell. And on the school teacher, there are those who start by inviting the bell at the beginning of the class. There are those who choose to invite the bell in the middle of the courses. And there are those who invite the bell at the end. And the practice is when the bell is invited, everybody stop, go back to their in-breath and out-breath. And knowing that I'm breathing in, breathing out, I know that I'm breathing out. And only that. But the result is so surprising, because the children start to like it. And then they stop, they follow their in-breath and out-breath, and they feel calmer. And the children like, and the teacher like. And now, in that Catholic school, they practice the bell of mindfulness in the class, that's all. No Buddha in that, nothing, just go back to your in-breath and out-breath. And be there. And so she wrote to Thay and report that to Thay. Next time, I will explain to them the way to begin a new our relation to each other. But I will not, of course, I will not say that this I learned from Plum Village or from Buddhist. I just share the practice of begin a new refreshing our relation people around us, and renewing the relationship between teacher and student and friend and friends. And I think that if the next step will be successful, if the first step is already successful, the second one, I think that it will be successful. That is apply Buddhism without form. And I feel that she's very intelligent, very profound person. And she's very lucky to have a good school who accept her proposal.